Be activated this morning. Come on, let's just begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to pray in the spirit. Come on, wake your spirit up this morning. Wake it up. Come on, wake your spirit up. I'm speaking to your spirit this morning. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered. Come on, let the spirit arise.
We're in the house of the Lord. We're standing in the courts of the Lord. I come against the strain in the spirit. I come against the contender of our worship. I come against the enemy of the service. Oh, I bind the enemy of our soul, hand and foot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wake our spirit up this morning. Woo! We wake our spirit up this morning. We cause the motion. We cause the movement. Oh, yeah. We're calling a rippling effect. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You are worthy. Lord, you are so worthy. Lord, you're 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 so worthy. Yes, you are.
You're worthy.
Lord, you're so worthy. Hallelujah, you're so worthy, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. You are worthy. Yes, you are, God. To receive praise today, you are worthy to receive praise today. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy.
Thank you.
morning. You are worthy, yes you are, to receive praise today. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Holy Spirit. For you have made us more than conquerors. Lord, and despite what we experience and what we're going through, we know victory is ours. So in the name of Jesus, this morning we ask you that by your Spirit, O Father, you give us understanding of the Word of God. You make us wiser than ever before as you continue to reveal to us your wisdom and your understanding through the Word of God. Lord, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Spirit.
it will make absolutely no sense for someone to know that he is at war and that it's necessary for that person to fight. You are at war, and there's no need for you to fight. It will make no sense. It will make absolutely no sense. It's going to be very interesting what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show to you this morning. Because when I started in church, what we did was to fight. What we did was fight, spiritually speaking, spiritual fight. And I couldn't remember any time during all my days as a Christian back, whether in Togo or in Ghana, in Ivory Coast, where we would go to church and there would be no spiritual fight. I couldn't remember any day. But there are some very interesting lessons that we can learn from the scriptures. And there will be a specific one we will look at. But before we get there, I want us to start with the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll go to verse 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. First, are you there? The Bible says, to everything there is a season.
Amen.
This is easy to understand as far as weather outside is concerned. Especially living in the Western world, not every part of the world experiences winter. Not every part of the world experiences summer per se. But when you live in, or you are blessed to live in a nation, or in this part of the world we're living in, we can easily see the four seasons. Hallelujah. We can easily see the winter when it comes. We can easily see the spring, because the nature will speak to you and tell you, oh, this is the season in which you are. All you got to do is to look outside. But when you are living in some other part of the world, there isn't anything like a winter. You know, nobody knows anything about winter. Nobody talk about snow because nobody knows anything about snow. Never seen it, never heard of it. So, I said again that when you are blessed to be living in this part of the world where you can experience the four seasons that God has set, hallelujah, you can easily understand the book of Ecclesiastes. Are you with me? He said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So, every season, just like we have season outside, so our lives also experience season. Sometimes we find ourselves in a season of peace, which is not really common these days, especially when you are a Christian in some part of the world. And there are times we experience season of God's presence outpouring, and it's just like it's so heavy. I can't remember, I think it was a couple of days ago, it was like that Sunday was like God just opened the heaven. And after our service, I spoke to other people, and they were like, God's presence was in the service. So I started calling overseas to find out what goes on. You know, they were like, God's presence. I said, oh, today must be one of those days where God just released his presence upon the earth. So the church can experience him. Because sometimes when we go too long without really experiencing him, our mind can easily shift away from the presence of God, and we get caught up in the everyday routine.
So when we experience the presence of God, what that meant become the prophetic cloud comes and our head is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Our perspective changed as time goes by. So under the heaven, there's a time for everything. Okay? So if you are born into a situation or into something that appears to be a war or spiritual war, and you find yourself having to fight this every single day of your life, you're going to have to ask, is there going to be a day where I can just sit down without experiencing war?
Amen.
Is there just going to be a time where I can just do something else instead of fighting? Ladies and gentlemen, let's go down to verse 8. He said, a time to love and a time to hate. Now, I want you to pay attention to the next one. A time of war and a time of peace. A time of war and a time of peace. Now, what I want you to see this morning is that there are times where you are in war, but you are not called to be looking at the war. You are called to look beyond the war. You are in war, but you are called to look beyond the war. I'll give you a few examples of why war is good. Without war, we will not have GPS. Without war, we will not have so many antibiotics that we have today. Without war, we will not have so many technology, fast flying airplane, trains that we have today. Without war, we will not have so much that we have today. Without war, we will not have it. Most of the finding and invention that dramatically changed our world came after the World War. Mm-hmm. After the war, there were so many people that were laying on the ground, they are alive, but the leg broken, body parts flying everywhere. Something needed to be done. Nobody knows what to do. Now there is a casualty. Now there is an issue with those who remain alive, but yet sustained wounds. So because of that, people started thinking, we have to find a way to cure this wound. Otherwise, we're going to have a much bigger problem. We got to find a way to move faster on the battlefield so the war doesn't take too long and create more issues for us after we end the fight. So war has brought into our world so many good things. I can just remember my history classes. The list goes on of how many good things the walls have brought into our world. But nobody likes war. Nobody likes war. So the Bible is telling us there's a time to fight and there's a time not to fight. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take you. Let's go to the book of First Chronicles. Chapter 12. First Chronicles chapter 12, let's look at verse 32. This time in history,
amen,
it's a time where God,
yes,
was about to turn around,
yes,
the entire nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The nation of Israel under Moses had a calling to fulfill. And Moses made sure that calling was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Moses was out of the picture, Joshua came. Now, there was a different calling for the nation of Israel under Joshua. That was to go and conquer the promised land. Joshua received the calling to lead Israel to that battlefield. Now, after Joshua, that calling was over. The land was conquered, even though there were some other part of the nation of the land that still had to be conquered. But the major combat to conquer the land was over. Follow me. Now, Joshua was out of the picture. Now here come judges. They all do their own thing. Some pleased God, some didn't. Samuel came as the first prophet, began to establish people somehow, laid some foundation for them to have some common sense. So the nation of Israel can start rising as the nation that God has established. After Samuel, here came Saul. Saul didn't do things right. But that was also a part of preparation for the next thing that God was going to do. If Saul didn't mess so much, oh, David wouldn't rise as a star. So that season of Israel, somebody must really understand what heaven was up to in the land in order to follow or in order to give order what needs to be done. So the Bible says here in the chapter 12 of the first book of Chronicles, verse 32, that and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time. Mm-hmm. Understanding of the time. You must have understanding of your time.
Amen.
Of your time, of the time of your life.
Amen.
All these things have happened to you. Now from here, what is God going to do?
Amen.
How those bad things will contribute to the next exploit God will reveal through you. Are you with me? Somebody must have understanding of the time. So as far as your life is concerned, you are the one to understand that time. Are you with me? Now he continues to say, to know what Israel ought to do. Now I want to replace to know with, are you with me? Instead of to know what Israel ought to do, I'm not changing the meaning or anything of the Bible, I'm just changing the word. Different translation. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times with knowledge of knowing what Israel ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
With knowledge. You know the time? Now you must have some knowledge of the time. The knowledge will help you make the right decision. The enemy is shooting arrows at you. He's throwing all kinds of stuff he can throw at you. Not every time we have to engage the enemy. We have been wrong engaging him every time. Do you know why? Because every time you are engaged in war, you are not building anything. Everything that's supposed to be built comes to a standstill because now you are at war, you are fighting. Let me give you one another example. When Clinton left the power, You were all here. Amen.
Yeah.
There was trillions of dollars left on the budget, right? After the budget, there was trillions of dollars left over.
Right.
I don't know if you received a check, but I did receive some. Because Bush sent me some check. From that money. Oh, yeah. Because there was a time of peace. The nation was not war.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was happening at that time here was building. Building the economy. So what? There was prosperity. Now, after Bush came, now, I don't want you to get me wrong. Bush go to war or not, it's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it's bad. But what I want you to see here is that after we engage in war in Afghanistan and Iraq, the economy went down. From surplus to deficit. Not just pay a deficit, but went down deficit. Trillions of dollars surplus to trillions of dollars deficit. Because of what? Because of war. That is a perfect picture. That when you are constantly engaging the enemy with all the foolishness he's bringing your way, there's going to be your economic side that will suffer. Whether it's going to be the finances or the spiritual growth aspect. Instead of you searching to have more knowledge of this great and mighty God that you serve, you are constantly devil in the name of Jesus, devil in the name of Jesus. No, this devil in the name of Jesus. God, yes, your word said, oh, I don't know. Yes, a thousand days before the Lord is like, a thousand days before man is like a day before God. Okay, I didn't know that before, but I just found this out. But remember, if you were fighting the enemy, you would have gained that knowledge. So what am I saying? Let me take you down to the book of Job, chapter 1. This guy, I want you to learn this from him today. We all must learn this. When I find out exactly what he did here, this kind of blow my mind because I was like, wait a minute. But in order to do this, you must have a good spiritual standing. Your standing in the spirit must be good. Are you there? Job chapter 1, verse 20, we start from 20, yes. Now, before, in verse 20, all the everything was gone. Okay? When you read those verses that came before, Job was there, and here comes this verse by the servant, Job is just, by the time that one finished, another one came. At that point, Job just knew the enemy has come after him. It wasn't God who came after Job. It was the devil. Satan was the one that came and destroyed what he has and killed his children. It was not God. We need to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Because this can easily be twisted and say, God is the one because he told Satan to go. No, God didn't destroy Satan. If you take this to the court of law of man, God didn't send Satan to come and destroy him. All God did was he took the war that he has around Job. That war belonged to him anyway. The war which is the fence around him that protects him. Because Satan was telling God earlier, he said, oh no, Job is serving you because he's gaining protection from you. If you go down there, that's the meaning of what he said to God. No, do you think he's serving you for nothing? No. He's serving you because he gained protection from you. If you remove the protection, see if he's going to worship you again. So God removed the wall. Satan was the one that destroyed what Job had. One of the servants said, God sent fire from heaven. It wasn't God who sent the fire from heaven. It was Satan. And destroyed everything. Now, this is what happened. I want you to see in the verse 28. And the last one, the last announcement he received was that his children were all dead. Mm-hmm. In the Bible says, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shed his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Nobody in his fleshly mind would fall to the ground and worship God. In a matter of seconds, everything is gone. And he's told of all that has happened to what he has and to his children. And the only thing he can do was to worship God. Think about it for a second. Think about it. Move yourself into a place of Job a little bit. In a matter of seconds, everything is gone. The Bible says he fell and worshipped. And what makes it even far mind-blowing here is that he shed his head. That is the sign of surrender. And he didn't do it to surrender to the enemy. If that were to be me in those days, devil, I break your neck in the name of Jesus. Oh, we would have been breaking the devil's neck. Job humbled himself even further that from the very first, from the very last announcement that his children are gone, he humbled himself before the Lord. And the Bible says he worshipped. And he continued verse 21 and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. See that? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, think about it. Think about it. This is easy for you and me because we are just reading it. We are not experiencing it. We are just reading it. When you're reading something and experiencing something, there, you will know the difference between. No, he's experiencing it. Don't experience this. But we are reading about his experience. He fell to the ground. He worshiped God. He got up and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In a time where everything is destroyed, what person in his right mind will go that way? In his right fleshly mind, again. Job didn't start praying for his wife or for his own life to be preserved. But he went into worshiping God, praising the Lord in the midst of his situation. Those of us that engage devil a lot in the battle, that's one area we come short. That's one area we come short. When situation or things like that happen, we do pray, yeah. But we tend to engage the enemy more than turn and look at the Lord. Not to blame him, but to worship him. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all these, Job seemed nuts. Nor charge God foolishly. I was standing by my grandma's older sisters. And the news came that her only son in his right mind died in the state of California. He's the one, you know. She had three boys, but all the first two are out of their head. This is the only one he really had as a son. He's supposed to come down to see his mom in Togo January 12th. On January 12th, and on January 10th, he died in California. And the news came. I was standing there, and I heard how she screamed and the things that came out of her mouth. I heard how she spoke foolishly about God. How bad God is, and how bad God can be for taking her only son that has his right mind. Those with the Spirit of God in them, even in the hardest time of their life, knows how to control their tongue. Because your tongue will put you into trouble in less than a second. When situation hits you and the anger is stirred up in you, and you don't shut your mouth and hold your tongue under control, you pretty much say things that will come back and haunt you later. So the Bible says, Job, in this situation, Job has experienced more than my grandma or the sister. Because at least she still has her houses and land, everybody, and money. But Job, everything was gone. Everything was gone. As for you and me, yes, we are facing situations. Oh, yes, that's all right. But we are not in a place of Job. So what? We should have more attitude of worship and praise more than Job. Amen. We should be able to offer more than Job has offered.
Amen.
Because he had nothing left.
Hallelujah.
Nothing was left. 7,000 sheep gone. 500 female donkey gone. All these big numbers of stuff that he had. 500 camels gone. Children gone. If you say bad, God double, yes, God double, bad. The children are not the same. What he experienced, that pain that he experienced at that moment, cannot be taken away. Yes. When you get hit in the leg and the pain start rising, yes, even though they will give you painkiller now, you know what? The pain that you experience first, you can always remember that pain. You will not forget that pain. When people hurt you with their words and they come out and they apologize, that doesn't mean that was erased. Everything that you heard before, everything that...
Exactly.
It's not erased away.
That's right.
Physical abuse to the body, it cannot be erased. Doesn't matter what kind of medication or whatever they say, counseling they give you. Mm-hmm. You can always refer back to it. You can always go back and see it. Sometimes it's as if you are experiencing it all over again. Pain don't vanish out of our head. It does not go away. All we do is manage it. We manage that pain. Though we may be out of that emotional situation of pain, we can always visit that time. In a matter of seconds. All you need to see is something that will trigger that, and that's it. You are back over there. But how do we make the difference? The difference is how we manage it. How we manage that pain. Yeah. How we manage that pain. I've seen people, when I went back to Togo, if this were to be a time before Christ, I would have been in jail. But you know what? It's a time for Christ. This is a time we're running with heavenly powers. And we have no time to be engaging in such what has become immorality at this point. Job worshiped God. He turned his back against the pain. Whatever is inflicting that pain to him, he turned his back against it and worshiped God. When you worship God, God look at your back. In the wilderness, he positioned them, each one of them, of the tribe. They were divided in the premise like a four group who faced this way, four group on the other side who faced the tabernacle was in the middle. And four on this side, four on this side, forming like a cross. And the center is the tabernacle, and they all face God. Mm-hmm. And God faced them. Attitude of worship. Every time they have to set up their tent, that's the way it has to be done. It has to face the tabernacle. He has to face the tabernacle because that's where the presence of God comes. The wilderness was the place of pain. But in the midst of the wilderness, they still have to face the tabernacle. You say, yes, I'm experiencing the wilderness. Yes, in the midst of your wilderness, let your tent face the tabernacle.
Amen.
You have no choice as a Christian. Your tent will have to face the tabernacle.
Amen.
Because what? It's not your choice. It's an in the camp, your tent must face the tabernacle. And it was for their own good. And you will say, well, but what about if the enemy comes? Because now their back is exposed. Now they're facing the tabernacle. Because these four facing this way, the other four facing that way, and these four, they're all facing one way. They're all facing the middle of the... Do you see what I'm saying? They're all facing the tabernacle. Their back is exposed. So, what happened to their back? No. You cannot get your back. God took care of their back. That's why they are ordered to face the tabernacle. So it is for you and me as well to face the God that we serve in the midst of our situation and with attitude of worship like this guy did here. When you do that, you know why your life is preserved. God removed the hedge around Job. But you know what? He removed it from the front and put it at the back. He said, his life, you will not touch. Why? He couldn't touch his life. Because what? There was a limit as far as the enemy can go. He can go as far as he wants, but as far as the life of Job is concerned, the enemy can't touch it. And you know what? We have far more advantage than Job. We have far more advantage than Job. Job lived in a time where the tabernacle wasn't even available. The book of Job, basically, is one of the oldest of the Bible, book of the Bible. The very oldest book of the Bible. And it's believed that he lives even more than all of the other guys. So there wasn't much knowledge of God in the land. There was no tabernacle where he can set a tent and face. But as for you and me, we are now only to face the tabernacle, but we carry the Ark of the Covenant in us. We become the Ark of the Covenant. So attitude of praise and worship in time of war is extremely important for the believer. So spiritual growth can continue. Spiritual growth can continue. If you will constantly engage the enemy in war, that's all you need. Because what? War, you will be depleted of everything that you have because of war. Why we are in debt? It was because of the war. We were spending $80 billion a week in Iraq. $80 billion a week. How many years we have been in Iraq? Oh, 10 years! We spent 10 years in Iraq. And now, how many years we have spent in Afghanistan? Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we are in debt. Just like it was in the natural, that's the perfect picture of what goes on in the spirit. Don't become indebted because of the war. You can easily become deficient in terms of knowledge of God because of war. You can easily become deficient because of war. And where? You spend all your time worrying and worrying and worrying, and at the end of the day, you don't have much knowledge of the Word of God. There are people that say they engage the enemy, they're fighting, but and they don't know how to fight because they don't have the knowledge of fighting. I want you to see this image. Jesus. When they're looking, he said, well, he said, get it behind me. Peter, get him behind me. He wasn't speaking to Peter, he was speaking to devil. On the mountain, after 40 days and 40 nights fasting and prayer, he said, it's written that you shall now thank the Lord your God. He kept doing his thing. Devil turned around again. I'll give you this glory that you see down here if you just worship me.
He said, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God.
How long it takes
to say that?
Not too long. That tells you Jesus didn't spend too much time with the devil. He didn't spend too much time with the devil. And devil realized that Jesus is not giving him the attention he wanted. Because what? If he can draw Jesus in, and they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, the mission of Jesus will not be accomplished. He will spend all his time engaging devil, and the time will run out. He realized that the mission is not done.
Right.
It's time to leave.
All right.
Don't get distracted with devil or by devil. Don't try to look at what his leg look at, what his head look like, what his back look like. You are not interested in anything that has to do with him. Get it behind me. I have places to go. And Jesus kept him moving.
Mm-hmm.
He kept him moving.
That's right.
The time we saw Jesus carry out conversation a little longer with demons of satanic kingdom was when he came across the man possessed. And he asked, how many are you? He said, we are legion. We are so many. The conversation that he had with those demons was for the good of that person. And that was also a part of establishing deliverance ministry today. So the people of God can really have some knowledge and wisdom and understanding of what goes on in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation was a part of the mission. It was a part of the mission. Jesus wasn't distracted with that conversation. And when he got the information, he wanted, he said, get out. He commanded them to get out. And none of them stayed. They all departed from the man. And later the man was clothed in his right mind, the Bible says. Now we can refer to that scripture and see how Jesus did it. And move on and do the same thing. Yes, these are examples. In the midst of it, Jesus didn't waste any of his time because what? The mission will have to be fulfilled. When you are engaging in other things rather than your mission, you will run out of time. And at the end of the day, what you're supposed to accomplish within the time you have been offered under the sun is not accomplished because what? You spend a lot of that time doing something else. And one of them will be engaging devil in war. Preachers in Africa became conversationalists, whatever you say. Those are one word, that's one word I can't pronounce. Love to have conversation with dead demons.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll stand over there.
Yeah.
They will, it will go for a long time. The church people will be standing hungry. And they wait all this time on one person, and other people waiting in the line to be prayed for. And you know what? At the end of the day, everybody's tired, and not everybody gets prayed for. Now they realize the time is out. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless them. That's not what they needed. The time was wasted having a conversation with devil, enjoying conversation with devil, and Satan is very, very proud to be engaged like that.
Mm-hmm.
He loved that company. Situation where he'll keep it going. And you waste time. And what you're supposed to accomplish within the time frame you are given is not accomplished at the end of the day. Yes. I see my coworkers all the time, around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you see that little truck going 65 miles in the neighborhood, you know it. You know it. They are behind. Now they're running. What were you doing? Because you are giving a time frame to get this thing done. Somebody was busy talking with somebody on the street. Yeah, carry on conversation after conversation. Now they look at the clock, they realize that, hey, they are outside. Now they start running. The same thing happened to us as Christians, as believers. When we wrongly engaging the enemy in order to waste time. That's why he does it. So we can waste time. And we engage him and we waste time at the end of the day. Jesus says, well, he will say to one group, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That servant is a servant that keeps track of time. Hallelujah. He is one that stays on top of what he needs to stay on top of. And the most dangerous thing here is that as a Christian, everything we see in the kingdom, we see, it's very important to God. No, everything in the kingdom is not important to God. We need to understand that. The most important thing to God is that the kingdom of God be established in the heart of man. If that is being done every day, God will be satisfied. Fighting Satan and demonic forces is a good thing because you can stop them from doing causing more, you know. But at the end of the day, our mission is not fulfilled just by fighting demons. Your mission is not fulfilled simply because you fight demons. So Job here shows us that even in the most hardest time of your life, you can still worship God and turn your back on the enemy. The enemy can be throwing stuff at you, and yet you can still be in an attitude of worship. Have your tent set up facing the tabernacle. Hallelujah. In the last verse, 22, he says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Never come to that place where you judge God foolishly. Know the time and the season of your life. Because the children of Issachar, they knew what the time and the season in which they are. Mm-hmm. That this is the time God is going to establish them above all the nations of the earth. And that was the time God did it. God did it with David. The kingdom became larger than any other time in the history of the nation. Under King David. And for that to happen, David must ascend to the throne. And the children of Issachar understood just that. And they carry out everything they need to carry out so David can become king. So understand the time and the season of which you are. A time to fight, a time not to fight. Because there are times where you have to fight. I'm not saying you shouldn't fight. There are times you have to fight. There are times you have to fight. Look at America. When was that time America became great? It was during the World War. The rest of the world was fighting. U.S. wasn't fighting at the beginning. No. U.S. wasn't fighting. U.S. was producing for them that were fighting. That's how America became a great nation. All those European nations that were at war, Japan, including Japan, and all, they were not producing really because there was a war happening. So what? United States wasn't engaged in war. United States was producing. That's how the economy grew. And when U.S. finally get engaged in that war, the war pretty much come to an end. The war came quickly to an end because of the United States. Because those nations had been weakened by war. And they weren't producing anything. So just after the war, U.S. continued to produce for them. And the quick recovery of those nations, with the help of the United States, caused economic collapse of 1929. Right here in New York, that spread around the world. The Great Depression. It was as a result of that because U.S. also now became so greedy. Oh, keep producing. No, they are rebuilding their nation now. They don't need too much. You got to slow down. Look at those things and apply them to your life. And you will do fine. The Bible says this is written for our example.
Amen.
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 bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you that we have the Bible that we can go and read anytime. That we have example to live by. And we thank you for the great man of God, Job, that we can refer to today, looking at his story, oh Father, so we don't waste our time engaging the enemy every time. We thank you for the story of Jesus Christ, how he showed himself strong and mighty
oh, yeah.
by not wasting his time on the devil. By putting him behind
oh,
and move on to fulfill his mission
thank
within
you,
the time frame.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to move on each and every one of us.
Yes.
That our life will not be wasted.
Amen.
That our ministry will be fulfilled to the fullest. That when you see us on that day, you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We exalt you. We magnify you. I pray for your people this morning that their heart be encouraged. That even in the wilderness, Lord, you can still do great things. You can let the water flow out of the rock. You can let the manna come down from heaven. And that they can still set up their tent and face the tabernacle and receive your protection. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I silence the voice of the enemy. The voice of satanic forces, I cripple their weapon. I command them to be silent. I command them that accuse your people to have their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth. They that run against your people in mischief, in misjudgment, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let those feet be paralyzed and crippled. Those who stretch their hand against your people for evil, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let those hands be dry. Let those hands lose their skills. Mighty God, you are a great God. Let your power be released upon each and every one of us, that we will experience a new day, oh God, a day of peace, a day of prosperity, a day of spiritual knowledge, an increase, oh Father, to the glory of our God. Lord, we thank you and we bless you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
If there's anyone among us right now in need of prayer, as you know, prayer is what we do best. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We pray, we worship, we serve. We do it all to the glory of our God. Whatever your name may be. If not, I'm going to pray for everyone, everywhere you are. Because the time has changed and it seems like everyone just fall back somehow. And the drive to be in the presence with prayer stirring up the atmosphere. The drive is not appear to be dull at this point. There should never be an external factor or internal factor that determines if that drive should be dull or not. That drive should be up running when we get into the house of God. When it's time for us to pray, we know it's time for us to pray. We keep the prayer holy. When it's time for us to study, whatever the case may be, in the house of the Lord, that we do it so we don't waste time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever might be holding your people back from prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break that thing this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, anything that the enemy is using to interfere with their mind, with their spirits, with their body, so prayer will lack in the house. Lord, I destroy that thing this morning in the name of Jesus. I call for fire to revive your people. That there will be none in this house that will find he or herself in a spiritual coma. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that there will be none that will be lukewarm. I pray that the spirit of prayer be stirred up in each and every one of us. That our prayer wheel, our prayer engine will keep running, oh Father. That when we get here, oh Lord, it will go into a terrible speed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for fire to revive in them. That prayer be stirred up in them, oh Lord. That intercession be stirred up in them. In the name of Jesus, any wall of division, I command it to crumble. In the name of Jesus, any wall of dominion, any wall of tiredness, any wall of fatigue, in the name of Jesus, I pull up its foundation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release the Spirit, oh Father, upon them, that they may be revived, oh Lord. Oh, can this dry bone live? Yes, Lord, yes. A mighty and exceeding great army. In Jesus' name, raise them up, oh God. Raise them up, oh God. Raise them up, oh God. Raise them up. Any intention to divide, any intention to hold back, I curse in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray life back into your people. I pray life back into your people. I pray an assignment for prayer back into your people. I pray, oh Father, love back into your people. In the name of
Jesus.
Oh Father, speak to them. Reveal to them. Let them see, oh Father, the time and the season. Let them know what they need to know concerning the season in which they are. Oh God, direct them in prayer, that their prayers will be on target. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, let your name be glorified in each and every one of them's life. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Take all the glory. All the glory, Almighty God, take all the glory, all the glory, oh Lord,
that's what we want the Lord to do.
Take all the glory, all the glory, Almighty God, take all the glory, all glory, oh Lord.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah 56 declares, Isaiah 56, 7 declares, even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Amen. Our vision, a house of prayer, we are touching and transforming lives, communities, and nations with the power and love of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and restoration. Our mission of House of Prayer International Ministries, is a place of refuge for all nations to provide instruction, leadership, inspiration, and encouragement to all, to equip its members for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing restoration and wholeness to mankind. Praise the Lord. I believe not this Friday, but next Friday will be our all-night prayer. Amen. And it's not this Friday, but next Friday, right? Yes, it is. It should be. If somebody can look up the date. I don't have my calendar in front of me. And we're going to be talking about that. It's been on my heart for some time, and I've been sharing with Pastor about understanding our prophetic season as a church and as an individual and as a nation and globally. Understanding the prophetic seasons. Even the heavens are declaring prophetic seasons. All right, so we want to look into that.
March 27th.
All right. March 27th. So let's be prepared. Let's start studying in the spirit the season that we're in. where you are individually and where we are as a church. Right? Amen. Also, pastors, when I make an announcement, we've been invited to a wonderful program called Draw from the Well. It's in New York, and Pastor will give some more information on that. I would like to give this opportunity, if there's anybody that have a testimony or a praise report they would like to share, you may do so at this time.
To be here.
I was waiting for the notorious testimony. Glad to be here. Amen. I am too. All right. Well, we're going to, Gus, do you want to wait to afterwards to do that announcement? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move to our offering. And also, I believe we have an envelope that we were collecting. Where Sister Monica, I don't know if I think I shared with you guys that she was back in the hospital again because she had a massive asthma attack.
Friday,
yes. So as of yesterday, I know she was still in the hospital, but we just thank God that we're able to be a blessing not only for prayer, but also, you know, financial blessing for her. So you can... I guess give it to Sister Joyce so she can put it in the envelope. And if then, Sister Joyce, if you can offer our offertorial prayer. And then we ask you to remember our mission and find the Lord blessed us last week with a donation that I think is going towards the book.
Yeah.
Amen. So our missions account is on the low side, but we're just praying and asking God to replenish it so that we can do more in the areas of mission.
Mm-hmm.
Let us bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, God, for this time of giving, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for those who have partaken in this giving, O Lord. We ask right now that you continue to bless them, God, spiritually, emotionally, physically, God, and financially, O Lord. We ask right now that you continue to bless those who are partnering with us, O God. They're partnering with us, O God, because they believe in the mission, God. They believe in the ministry for this season, O Lord. We ask, God, that every seed planted, God, will feed those who are hungry for the word, or who are hungry for the meat, God. The God who water those, God, who are thirsty, God. Lord, we have built well. We have built a well, and God, we're looking to build more wells, God, with the mission, God, with the seed that you have planted, God. Lord, we're looking for healing, God, even healing for the young man, God, the little boy, God, who is waiting, God, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But, Lord, we know that the seed that we are planting, even in his life, God, will take root, and it will flourish, God, and it will do the healing, God, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ in his life, O Lord. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Cast out the power of God. Cast out the power of God. Because we have to send them the hair count and
Yeah, anything of that. Any cause, we will, the church will take care of it. Yeah, but I don't think there's any cause per se for a change.
No, there was no cause.
Yeah.
I think they fed the pastors and the pastor's wife and, well, the pastors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a lunch, but there was no cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, we'll make sure, yeah, even if they have no lunch for the leader, for the church leaders, we'll make sure you guys find a buffet down there. And,
there was one close.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about them and the tow and the gas, all that the church will cover it, and we just need to know. And then we have to figure out the transportation.
It's going to be held May 23rd.
Okay.
I think it's beginning at 9:00 in the morning.
Saturday.
It's a Queens, New York. Yes. Pastor Sandra Manning, who came and spoke before, is with her apostle. So it's a wonderful training. Sister Joy, she sat in the leadership session.
That was very good.
Very good, very good. Pastor and I had a chance to be with the pastor. Now, Pastor will not be with us that day, but we can all go and be a part of the training. Even if you're not in a leadership position, it still can edify you as a part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. As a member of a church, how to serve.
Yeah. All right. So make a plan and let us know. And we have to send them.
I don't know, they just said respond soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Okay, well, okay, you two respond as soon as possible.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to find update in Togo, what's going on there with the hospitals, because the hospital has been shut down, the workers, health workers are on strike, schools are shut down, all this nonsense going on with the election coming up. It's just not looking too good. We just want the boy to get the surgery, that's all. I hope they will open the hospital and provide the boy, and after what they can do, whatever they want to do with themselves. But we just need this boy to get the surgery. So let's keep praying, and it's still ongoing. I don't have any new update to give you as of right now, but I'm not willing. By next week, I will be able to speak to somebody down and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Any last word before we close?
I received a text from Pastor Everett. He was telling me on yesterday, he has an 8-month-old nephew that got scalded. They believe it. They're not sure if the grandmother, the paternal grandmother, did it intentionally, but the baby is in burn center, and the leads there saying that his skin is going to have to get grafted. 22% of his body was burned. So I don't know the child's name, but I'll get that more. But he's a scholar this year.
Also, before we pray, this morning there was a bomb attack in the church, two churches in Pakistan, killing 10 people, and 55 people were wounded, and it appeared the number of casualties may rise. Thank God it could have been worse, because the guy wanted to get inside the church and blow himself up within the church, but he was stopped by God. And as the God was struggling with him, that's where he detonated the bomb. So, you know, that could have happened inside. Thank God there was a security force out there that struggled with him. And according to one witness account, the body parts were flying everywhere, and the security guy died. But the two churches, they were close to each other, and 10 people died. And, wounded. The targets are the two churches.
Alright.
So let's keep praying. Yeah, Boko Haram on the other side is getting squeezed, and the day of Boko Haram, we believe our numbers.
Yeah.
They are numbers. And they are numbered.
Yeah.
And now they join forces with ISIS. But God willing, you know, African nations are really crushing them from all directions. So it's just a matter of time before they finish them. Let's keep praying and hoping. They have rescued some of the children. Some of the children have been rescued. This is not the girl that were abducted. They were, these are different group of children that they abducted. They're doing so much stuff that is not even coming on the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just keep praying for those people down there. Let's pray for this child and our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. This is the time, this is the season Christians are facing a genocide without precedent. And our leaders are silent as they can be. Let's cry out to heaven. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and around the world as genocide against Christians continue. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you have the power to stop it. You have the power to protect your people. So we ask you to protect the Christians. Cover them with the blood, oh Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you that your power will be revealed even in this difficult time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, move by your spirit around the churches, oh Father. Oh, dispatch the angel of God to protect these churches in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Egypt, in Nigeria, in Libya, and in all these parts of the world where Christians are facing genocide. Lord, in the name of Jesus, strengthen the faith of your people. Build them up in Jesus' mighty name. We pray for this little baby that has been born, oh Father. We ask you, oh Lord, your hand can reverse every situation. Your hand can heal. Your oil can make whole. So in the name of Jesus, heal this little one, oh Father. Heal the body, oh Father. In the name of Jesus, let his life be preserved in the blood. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray for full recovery, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for being God we can call upon in difficult times. In Jesus' name. Even comfort the heart of the parents as well, Father. Remember them in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord have his face shine upon you. May the Lord bestow upon you goodness and mercy. That the favor of the Lord will even pursue you. That the favor of the Lord will overtake you. That the favor of the Lord will cause doors to be opened. That the favor of the Lord will bring goodness and mercy to you. That the goodness of God will be revealed through you. That this week become the best of the best. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Father, how are you doing?